Well, good evening, church. Welcome to our Wednesday night service, and I'm glad you took the opportunity to be here. And if you're like me, I've been looking forward to coming here tonight to hear the Word of God and to be with my Christian brothers and sisters. So if you would, grab a hymnal and turn to page number 280. We're going to sing Jesus Near, Keep Me Near the Cross. Let's all stand and sing. 280.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. Cynthia and Sister Ernestine. Good evening, y'all. It's good to see you. Pray you've had a good week. If you're watching by Facebook or if you're listening by the radio, it's good to have you with us tonight, and I pray that you've had a blessed week. Do we have any words of praise or testimony tonight before we get going? Amen. A beautiful day of that. A gorgeous day. Anyone else? Amen. Come on, there's more. It's been a good week. It's been a chilly week. Winter's tried to come back on us, but in case you hadn't heard, Brother Wayne, they've found out he's had a light heart attack, but any heart attack's a major heart attack when it's yours, right? I mean, if it's you, it might be a light one, but when it's me, it's a major one, you know. But I just got off the phone with him, talked to him a couple times today, and they're going to be doing a cath, I believe it is, tomorrow to try to find out. He's still having some pain and pressure in his chest, but praying that God just show him. I told him what screw needs to be tightened or which one needs to be loosened so that he can get back home. And then talked with Sister Nancy today. Didn't talk with Brother Danny, but Brother Danny's had a rough day today. And so just lift him up in your prayers. And to be honest with you, I was going to make tonight just our regular prayer service night until about 3 o'clock. And that's when the Lord kindly put a thought on my mind. And the thought is this: being a positive in a negative world. Being a positive in a negative world. So we're going to have our prayer time tonight, and then we'll be in the book of Philippians. I promise I ain't going to go to 8:30, okay? But we'll be in the book of Philippians chapter 4, being a positive in a negative world. In the way of prayer needs, there are many, but like Brother Paul said, for every prayer request we have, God has answered one. For every, it may not have been the way we wanted it to, but it's been answered. Number one, we want to remember the lost, those that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and those that are backslidden. But speaking on that, don't forget, Friday night, beginning at 6 o'clock, we'll be having an eating, but then at 7, we'll be having our Fan the Flame youth-led revival. And I like how that's put, youth-led. That doesn't mean you have to be a youth to attend. That just means we're trying to allow the Lord to use the young men and young women here. But do be praying for that. And tomorrow night, about 6 o'clock, a couple of men and I are going to be meeting here for a prayer time, just to pray over the service that's coming up on Friday. So if you'd like to come and be a part of that, please do. Let's pray for our Vacation Bible School as we're getting ready for a full week this year. I'm excited about that. Continue to pray for Awana as we're wrapping up the year there. Eddie and Michelle Bishop, Sister Tammy and Brother Wayne, Bridget Bledsoe, Bill Chester, our church family, Suzanne Drawdery, Larry Dishner, the Pierce, Snodgrass, Say family, Brother Rob Grebe, Jimmy Hurd, Melanie Lester, the upcoming elections, our lost, Mike McRae, our van ministry, our nation's leaders, unspoken prayer needs, Brother Danny and Sister Sherry, Nancy and Brother Leonard, and we want to remember Sister Sherry's brother for salvation, Joe Robinette, Rick Sawyers, Matt Smith, Fred and Shirley Sullivan, Joel Thompson, and those that are traveling, Lehigh students, Larry and Jan Williams, and I don't have any more on this list. Any others? And she's unable to see out of her eye right now. She has an infection in her eye. Is she in the hospital or?
She's
almost there. Okay. Amen. Anyone else? And let her know we're praying too.
They've been in his house 2 weeks. And, okay.
How's his brother? I was going to say, how's his brother? Tell you what, that cancer is all over the place. It's everywhere, and it's a battle. I've been watching some on TikTok. I've got on TikTok now, so just some of the struggles that people face that you don't know, and they fight, and but they sometimes it's God's will to heal, sometimes it ain't, and you just trust that He does all things well. And we're gonna be talking a little bit about that tonight. Thank you, Brother Kent. Anyone else? We'll do it, Brother Johnny. How's Brother Matt doing? Praise the Lord. You know, we're hearing more and more of anxiety, depression. But, you know, it says over in Luke chapter 21, I think it's verse 26. It says, people will faint from fear and expectation of the things that are coming upon the world. And you know what that's talking about? It's talking about the end of time and as Christ prepares to come back. But we're seeing it more and more. The King James puts it as young men's hearts shall fail them. But I think that's what we're seeing. It goes on to say that not only will their heart faint from fear and expectation of the things that are coming on the world, because the powers of heaven will be shaken. The powers of heaven will be shaken. But praise God, He's already won the victory. Amen? And we're standing in victory no matter how we feel or what we see. Anyone else? Amen. And do be praying for Friday. I'm excited, but I don't want to put expectations or anything like that on it. You know, just let God have His way. Anyone else? How about an answered prayer? Anybody willing to lift up an answered prayer tonight? Amen. 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 I was invited to go to a free movie Friday. You know, they're doing the one over in Lee County, the Jesus Revolution. Somebody texted me and invited me. I said, no, I've already got plans. Anybody else? I praise the Lord that, as far as I know, Talmadge has been in Orlando since last Thursday, and he's back today, and he's all in one piece, and got a $750 scholarship for college. Hey, that's daddy. That's daddy's pat on the back right there. I don't got to pay that money, at least $750 of it. Anyone else tonight? Again, I thank you for being here. Thank you for making the effort, and I want to remind you that the altar is always open. You don't have to be invited. It's His altar. But if you want to come, there's no better place to be found. But I'm going to ask Brother Paul, if he would. You can just remain seated, Brother Paul, where you at, and just lead us in a word of prayer, but giving God the praise and inviting Him here into our service. All right, we'll be in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. But I want to ask you about four questions before we get going tonight, just to kindly get your mindset. There's 24 hours in a day, right? How many hours of positivity are you allowing in? How many hours of negativity are you allowing? Meaning that you're listening to or you're hearing something that's positive, something that's negative. And then lastly, how much is neutral? How much is just kind of empty space? What would you say? Positive. How much positivity hours-wise? All right. Is there more positive or more negative? Come on, there we go. There we go. Exactly. Is there anything as neutral? I don't think there is. I think it's either being a benefit or it's being a negative. You know, huh? Yeah, but see, you ever heard of osmosis? I mean, that's it. Hey, I'm tell you what, Alexa will talk to you in the nighttime. Alexa will talk to you in the nighttime and say crazy stuff too. So just unplug it. All right. Are you a positive or a negative person? Ain't nobody gonna answer that one. And when I say there's two aspects to that, what do you say to yourself in your brain? I know, but see, that's what I'm asking. That's why, because think about it. Are you talking to yourself positively or negatively? All right. Okay, so now, exactly. I do the same thing. I do the same thing. What you said the other day, Brother Jordan, you spend a lot of time building up issues and then that'll never come up, but you deal with them, and then how to defeat it as well. You know, you're going to overcome it. But all right, now, how do you think the world perceives you? As a positive or as a negative? Overall, as a whole. Okay, do you think the world perceives Christ as a positive or a negative? You see where I'm going with this, right? Is that the Bible teaches us, as you're turning to Philippians chapter 4, that Jesus is the greatest positive that ever has been, right? I mean, everything about this world has been set up not only for us to have a negative life here, meaning that it doesn't help us any. It doesn't make it easier for us. Everything about it seems to be against us. Amen? Not only that, but then when we die, the enemy wants all of eternity to be a negative, right? But Jesus Christ came that we might have life and that more abundantly. And not just here in this world, but that we should have it eternally with Him. And the Bible teaches us that He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to pull us out of the negative and to put us into the positive. Amen? And therefore, as His children, should we be known as a positive or as a negative? But are we trying? Are we trying? Or have we just surrendered to the fact that this world is negative? Everything it sends my way basically is negative, and I really have no other choice than to just be a negative. It has, especially since COVID. I tell you, ever since then, it has been just a fight. Every day is a struggle. Every day is a battle. But praise God, we can win the battle. And I'm not just talking about eternally, but every day we can choose whether we're going to be positive or we're going to be negative. That's what the Bible teaches us. All righty. So let's look at Philippians chapter 4. And this is very familiar scripture, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, may God add the blessing to his scripture. But just think about it. We're living in a society where nothing is good. Everything, I mean, if Democrats, Republicans, where they're bad, well, the other one's worse. We watch stuff on TV. We're living in an instant society. But think about what we're receiving. As this information comes into us, do we ever hear something like, well, the Ukraine and Russia have signed a peace treaty? Well, the Crips and the Bloods have said there's not going to be any more shooting in the inner cities. We don't hear stuff like that, do we? We hear stuff like there's been a mass shooting at such and such elementary. There's been a conservative politician being called in an affair. Everything of this instant gratification information is 99.9% negativity. All the time, just beating on us, beating on us, beating on us. But yet, we've been called to be a light in a dark world. Amen? And that, and think about it. It says light is what expels darkness. So then you see the negative of the night, the lack of, there is no such thing as dark. It's simply a lack of light. But yet, when any amount of light is introduced into a dark place, what happens? It's expelled. You can see the light from miles and miles away. And so tonight I want to talk about, quickly, about being a positive person in a negative world. And the first way, there's five things, I think, that we can take with us. And not that it's going to be easy, mind you, but it can be done. The first thing, that if we're going to be a positive in a negative world, we've got to respond to the love of Jesus. We've got to respond to the love of Jesus. Romans chapter 8, or chapter 5, verse 8. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while what? Finish it with me. Well, yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now think about that. That while we were yet sinning, we didn't have a mind on, there was nothing good about us at that time. Amen? There was nothing positive. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that without the love of Christ and him drawing us, there's still nothing good about us. But yet it's the love of Jesus that draws us to him. You know, the Bible teaches us in 1 John that God is love. He reveals himself to us by love, and it is that light, not a negative, not the whip, but the carrot that draws us. And so that's what drawed us to Jesus Christ in the first place, right? I'm a sinner, but he loved me enough to take my place. He loved me enough to suffer my punishment. And because of that, I respond to that love. Amen. And even today, when we talk about revival and we talk about being stirred up on the inside, where do we go back to? We go back to the cross. We go back to that first love, where with that first time that we confessed our sins and we knew what it was meant to be free in Christ Jesus. But what about the love of Christ on a daily basis? Why don't we respond to it like we do, or like we did when we first heard the gospel, or the gospel became a reality in our lives? I mean, think about it. The love of Jesus is just as real today as it was the day I got saved. The reality of his love in my life, matter of fact, you think about it with your relationship with your spouse, it gets deeper. You get more in tune. You get more dependent upon your spouse. But now, there's three places I think that we need to be looking for God's love or Christ's love so that we can respond to it. The first place is creation. I mean, I step out the door this morning, and as it was said a while ago, not only has God given us this beautiful day or a day, but look how beautiful it is. I mean, just a month ago, I would try to look across these mountains and I could see through the trees. It was dead and brown, just laying on the ground. Now, when I look over at it, there is this beautiful green foliage that's out there. I step out in the morning, there's this crispness in the air. I hear the birds singing. And you know what? All of that's for me. He created that for me. He's given me this beauty that surrounds me. And all of it screams out His glory. All of it declares that there is a Creator, and that Creator loves me and is looking out for me and has a plan and a purpose for me. But how often do we think about that? That we step out the door and we just go on our daily business, don't we? We don't look at it, we don't think about it, but it is creation. What does it say that all of creation declares that there is a God? When's the last time you just said, I'm going to take 5 minutes and I'm just going to notice the creation? I'm just going to look at it and consider the God that made it. The next one is this, from cover to cover. When we consider the Bible, what's it called? The love letter that He sent to His people. But when we look in it, we see how that there was a purpose and a plan. How that even before the creation of the world, Christ had a plan to draw out those that love Him. A peculiar people, a set apart for His purpose and for His glory. And then the last one is to go back to the cross. We've got creation, we've got the cover to cover of the Bible, and we've got a wondrous cross. It's amazing that we live in a world, and I'm telling you, we had somebody stop by here, Juana, on Sunday night, and they gave us this paperwork, and it talked about the sin chip and how that they've put it in our brains already. And that the Antichrist and the demons coming and man, you're just hearing some of the craziest mess you've ever heard in your life right now. And you don't know whether to believe it or not to believe it, because that's the society we're living in. But the Bible teaches us that when we can't trust what we feel, when we can't trust what we see, when we can't trust what we even hear. Have y'all heard about the new scheme they're trying to run with the AI now? They'll take your loved one's voice and have them call you on the phone, and it'll sound like they've been kidnapped, and they'll ask for ransom. I mean, we're just living in a time, but praise God, we've got the cross, and He's in control. And every time we respond to the love of Jesus Christ, but we will not respond to it until we deliberately recognize it on a daily basis. On a daily basis. You see, that's some of the positive that we can allow into our lives. Remember, we were saying, how much is negative? How much is positive? Well, we have a choice whether we allow more positive or more negative. And those are three areas. Anybody got any thoughts on responding positively to the love of Christ Jesus? This is what really comes to mind to me is that there has to be a plan, right? That's what gets me about the diabetes. Never in my life did I think about what I was going to cook for supper, except for we're at the grocery store, I better get something to cook. Now I have to look at the portion size, because, you know, I'm dumb enough to think that if I get a bottle of soda, I figure that's one serving. No, it's actually three, and I've drank three of them, and I've drank more than I was supposed to have all day in that one doggone bottle. You see, there's a purpose and a plan. Or there better be. And see, that's the way it is with Christ. The older I get, I realize that, you know, you've got to be deliberate. There's got to be putting one foot in front of the other. The Bible speaks of walking circumspectly. You remember that verse? I believe it's over in the book of Ephesians. It says, be ye not drunk with wine, over there. But the next thing is that if we're going to be a positive in a negative world, we got to reprogram our brains. We got to reprogram our brains. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Now, we've got the web, we've got Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, something else, and another thing that's coming behind it, right? Always just hitting us, boom, 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 information, hitting our brain. And lots of times we'll resign to the fact that we really have no control over what goes through our brain. But that's a lie. You know that? We have control over what we, not all of it, not 100%. I mean, the old saying, I can't help the bird from flying in the tree, but I can keep the bird from making a nest in the tree. And the same is true for us. Did you know that it's scientifically proven that as human beings, we hold on to the negative easier than we do the positive. I looked it up in a National Library of Medicine. Says that humans hold the negative better or more than we do the positive. Another one says this, listen. It says on SciComm.net in an article, The Negativity Bias, Why the Bad Stuff Sticks, Dr. Hansen said, our amygdala, I ain't sure he says it's shaped like an almond. He said our amygdala, which is the alarm center and emotional field center that we keep the events and happenings from the past, two-thirds of the memory in it are built with negative memories. Two-thirds. So scientifically, people ask, why? Well, we're fallen. We're sinful. There's nothing good about us, and we hold on to that. But think about the things that come into our mind. I've got to thinking about myself. How often have I told you that I've watched ID Network? I mean, and I love that stuff, man. But what's that in my brain doing? Just over and over. Man, I mean, I could tell you many of them IDs, and they'll come on and I'll recognize them immediately. But what space am I eating up right there? And what's it producing? What am I telling myself? Because it's having an effect on me somehow, some way, ain't it? Now, I probably ain't going to go cold turkey on my ID. It ain't going to happen, but I see a need that is there. Because it's not beneficial, right? It's either, there is no gray. It's either a blessing or it's not. And the idea, think about, I want you to look up some verses and read them. Somebody look up Psalms 26, verse 2. Who's got that one? All right. The next one, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Come on, who's got it? 423, yep. All right, Isaiah 26:3. I got a bunch of them. Don't you? You'll get your one. Isaiah 26:3. Brother Paul, you get it? All righty. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. But Gary, you get it? All right. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Miss Betty, you want it? Romans chapter 8, verse 6. All right, then Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Sister Fleeta, you want it? Will you take it? Let me put it that way. Will you take it? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Oh, I only got one more. I want y'all to fight over it, so I'm going to let you. All right, Sister Michelle, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. All right. Now listen at these. That means you're going to have to read it loud. All right, Psalms 26:2. Read it loud. Stand up and read it. Project. You know how it goes. Stand up and project. You in the band. You hear that? That's David. David's saying, hey, search my mind. Why is he asking him? Because we lie to ourselves. We fool ourselves, or we just put the veil up in front of our understanding. But the idea is there that there's some type of control that's to be had by David, but it has to be from God, right? It has to be the power of God. All right, Proverbs 4, 23.
Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life.
The heart, the idea there is a reasoning. Go read the next verse. I might have missed it.
Put away from you crooked speech.
I miss that verse, but right in there, what you're seeing, though, notice what he says, the heart, the mouth. What does the Bible say? What proceeds out of the mouth, what's in the heart? And where does everything in our heart be? It begins with the thought. All right, Isaiah 26:3.
You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind rests in you.
Now, there's a link right there. Did you hear it? That we'll have peace because where does our mind lie? On him. We're thinking on him. All right. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Again, the where our thoughts are lying, what we're focusing our thoughts on. Romans chapter 8, verse 6.
For to set the mind on the spirit is life
Again, there's the principle of kingdom thinking versus earthly thinking or human thinking. All right, verse chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Amen. Thank you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Did I not give that now? All right. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. This is probably one of my most quoted ones. Self-discipline. In the King James, it says a sound mind. A mind that's able to control the body. But the Bible tells us this, that in the last days, that there'll be a people that has no control over their body. Their human emotions, their fleshly desires will be like wild beasts. But that begins without having control over the mind. So now think about this. If we are going to be a positive in a negative world, if we're going to be a light in a darkness, a benefit to, and a blessing to those around us, first we have to choose to respond to the love of Christ. And that's on a daily basis. Remember, we talked about it. AI answered this one. That a lot of people see the idea of saved or the definition of saved as being a one-time event. But it is a daily process. It's a daily growth. Then we have to, if we're going to be a positive in a negative world, we've got to reprogram our mind. So how do we reprogram our mind? What are we going to do there? Well, the first thing is that there needs to be a regular time with the Lord every day. Every day. Where you and He alone, and that's it. And really, I would say prayer time, but it needs to be more of us listening than it is us talking. We need His positivity in our life. We need to allow Him to speak to us. The next thing is this. Be thankful every day. Every day. Recognize the positive in your life. You understand? How often do we do that? Just say, Lord, for a moment, I just want to say there is positivity in my life. Everything isn't terrible about living. And you know, some things are actually very good in my life right now. But it's the negative that naturally gets a hold of us. Then the next thing is this, and this blows my mind. Expect God to come through. Expect God. That's powerful, ain't it? That is a power. When I read that, and it ain't original thought, I'll go ahead and give you that one. It about broke my heart. Because of myself. I've been living defeated. I look at the world and I see what's happening and everything like that. But I'm not defeated. And praise God, He cannot not come through. Amen, right? He cannot fail. He cannot lose. Matter of fact, He says, get on with me and you cannot lose either. But you know, God's doing some amazing things in some of our own families' lives. He's doing it in some of our friends' lives. And it doesn't matter. We know this world's going to hell anyway. It's going to be consumed. We're going to be taken out of it. Amen. It has to happen. But I need to expect Him to win. It's not Luke and Darth Vader. It's not the force against the darkness. It is victory in Jesus. Bottom line. Amen. Listen, the word there to think, whatever, all those lists, you know, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable. The word think there means to ponder. To think about, to keep a mental record. To think about every time that He has won in your life. Every time He's brought the victory, rehearse that going over. And this tells you that I ain't the only redneck around here. The guy that I was reading behind today, he said it's like a cow chewing its cud. Burp it back up and chew on it again and then swallow it some more. Right? When's the last time that you've just went through a list? That's why if we're going to reprogram our brain, we have to be thankful. Right? Think about it. Praise God. You know, COVID. Yeah, I got sick, but He brought me through it. I even got the shot and He didn't kill me yet. Hallelujah. Thank God. I'm telling you, the world is trying to beat us down. None of us ever thought, we thought we'd respect the government. Surely they wouldn't do something that would kill us. Surely they wouldn't kill a president. Come on, man. We have been rattled. We've been rattled. And we've got to rethink and reshape. And the Lord knew this was coming. That's why he is focused on this. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 wasn't a chance or an accident. It just comes up different in our lives. And then it says to the message. You never hear me quote the message because it's not that great. But I like the way that it puts this. Listen. I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best and not the worst, beautiful and not the ugly, things to be praised and not to cuss. Now, there ain't much in this world that's like that. There ain't much that, who is? Christ Jesus, his word, his truth. So the application here is, don't think that it's only what you eat that makes you who you are. You know, you are what you eat. But what you meditate upon develops your attitude. What we meditate upon develops the attitude that we have. I didn't give you application for the first point about respond to Christ's love. His love outweighs the negativity. It should. It should be the greatest positive. And then, any thoughts on the reprogramming of your mind? Anybody ever tried to reprogram your mind? Oh, man. Brother John got me listening to something the other day about music reprogramming your mind and all that. It's amazing how God puts things together. All right? Number three, to be a positive in a negative world, we must begin to recognize the best in the people God allows in our lives. We've got to recognize the best. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 and following. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Now notice, I said that we've got to recognize the best in the people that God allows in our life. Sometimes there's negative people pass through your life. You know what I mean? And it's hard to see them. But look what Paul said. Paul said, I thank God because you're perfect. I thank God that you never get on my nerves. I thank God that you're just good at everything you do. No, he doesn't say that. Why? Because everybody is imperfect. Everybody's going to get on my nerves at some time or another. Everybody's going to do something I don't like, and they're going to give me a reason not to see the best in them. Amen? It's just the way it is. But there's still other reasons for me to choose to see the best in them. Paul is choosing to see the best in these people. It ain't coming naturally, I promise you that, because give me a few minutes and I'll pick something bad about you. And I won't even talk to you. Just come in the door and I'll be able to pick something bad about you, negative about you right there. Just like some of y'all with my jacket and my flip-flops on. You're like, what in the world? What you doing there? It's okay. I think it's a positive. I do. But think about this. When God puts people in our life, we've got a choice. Are we going to see them as a benefit, that God has got a purpose and a plan for them being in our life, or are we going to see them as just a nuisance? First thing that we can see them as a benefit is that they've been made in the image of God. He has created them in his likeness and in his form. And if nothing else, we can look at them that God found them valuable enough to make them like he is. The next thing is this. Choose to see the best in them because they're fighting the same fight that I'm fighting. They're living in a world that's not fair. They're living in a world that doesn't have much help for them. And they're living in a world that never gives them a break. And then just as easy, I could be in their shoes or they can be in mine. I should choose to see the positive in them because they may not have had the advantages I've had. I mean, I'm not saying I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth. But God did favor me. He blessed me, and there was no reason for it. Other people I'm telling you, these people buying tomatoes today don't know where a tomato grows. Think about it. If you was raised up in the city, they have no idea about a tomato plant or anything like that. At least God give me a place where I could have a little common sense. And then the last thing is this, not the last thing, but the one I'm going to end with, is that Jesus died for them. And I need a tissue if you got a tissue. No, it was snot is what it was. A runny nose. That's my imperfections. I'm going to take the whole box because I might need it. But Jesus died for them. He died for the world, right? They were made in His image. He died for them. But the individual, modern day saint, can find multiple negatives in the greatest evangelist or whoever, right? But here's the thing, that's not hard to do. That's not a challenge to do. Anybody can do that. So Paul chose to look at them and to remember the good. That's the application. Will we do the same? Let me think. Notice what Paul says. He says, every time I remember you, what do? I give thanks. I'm thankful. I have joy. Now, when you think about somebody you don't like, or you think about somebody that's negative, what was the last thing you said about them? Verbally. Did you say something good about them? Probably not, because remember, our memory is tied and we think what we said. Here's a way to reprogram our brains. That person, next time, let the last thing you say about them be a positive. Because then you remember the last thing you said. And that's the way that we try to reprogram ourselves. Any thoughts on recognizing the good in the people God brings in your life? Then the last one is this. To be a positive in a negative world, we need to reach out to the lost, hurting, and even the negative people around us. Right? Jesus Christ came into the darkness to shine the light. And that's who we are. Again, the idea of this is that God has put us here for a purpose and a plan. And either we're being overcome by the darkness, or we're overcoming the darkness with light. And it all begins with our attitude and the way we think. You know what? You know, it's not about, we feel certain ways. Everybody feels that way. How can some people be positive feeling that way and other people being negative? It's not about what you feel, it's about what you believe. It's not about what you feel, it's about what you confess. You know, I confess that Jesus is Lord. Do I feel that every day? No, but I declare it. I put it out there because that's the truth. And that's the same about our attitude and our positive. Maybe y'all ain't wanting to hear this tonight. That might be why the Lord wanted me to preach it tonight. But we've got a choice to be positive or negative. I pray that each of us choose to be positive. And even if we find ourselves three quarters through the day and we've been negative the whole day, at that moment when we realize it, we'll allow the Holy Spirit to grab a hold of us and allow us to be a light in the darkness. Anything else before we go tonight? Well, you know, they say it has an addictive effect on you, that if you're constantly having the input of electronics, that if you cut it off, people can go through withdrawals on that stuff. And think about it. I guess Gen Z is going to be the one that began without a phone. I mean, that's after that, everybody had a phone, everybody had a computer and all that, and it's different. But how would it be different? How would we be different if we did just 5 minutes a day said, I'm going to give thanks for everything that God has put positive in my life. How would that just affect us right there? I mean, little small things, but anything else before we close tonight? All righty, God bless you. Do be praying for Friday, if you would, about 6, between 6, 6:30 tomorrow night. Show up and we'll have a special prayer time, lifting them up. And then if you can't, come, be here. Any prayer needs before we close? All right, stand with me if you would. I'm going to ask Brother Keith, will you close us out? Yes, Jesus. Mm-hmm.